On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, I'm with Mike Roos of the Boston Red Sox. Mike, introduce yourself for the listeners, man. Tell us about your journey through the game of baseball.
Well, I actually was a college baseball player for a year. I went to Mars Hill College, and when 9/11 happened, I enlisted in the United States Air Force. So I went on that journey for 4 years, and during that time in the military, I really got into strength training, and you know, I was doing bodybuilding and learning about the body and learning how to make the body stronger. And I decided to go back to school, and I was stationed in South Georgia, so Florida State University was only an hour south of there. And I kind of was a fan growing up as a kid, even though I grew up in New England. It was always I always thought the they had a great athletic department, and the football team was always awesome. And, you know, Chief Osceola running on the field and throwing the spear in the ground, like that was really cool. And, so I had the opportunity to go there, and, I went there and got my undergrad degree in exercise science. And during my senior year, my last semester, I was actually introduced to front office personnel from the Boston Red Sox. He was in the scouting department at the time, and got introduced to him, and he put me in contact with Pat Sandora, who at the time was the minor league strength conditioning coordinator. And Pat gave me an opportunity to come work for the Red Sox that summer, and he told me, I can't pay you anything, but for me that was my opportunity, being a baseball player growing up and loving baseball, and then get an opportunity to be a strength and conditioning coach and learn how to be a strength coach in professional sports was an opportunity you couldn't pass up. So I took the opportunity and ran with it. And first year I worked in GCL. And then after that season, I got offered the job to go to AAA Pawtucket, which is actually where I was born, in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. So that was pretty great for me and my family and all my friends, and to get that job. So I spent 2 years in Pawtucket, and after the second year, I was hired as the minor league strength and conditioning coordinator. And so spent 4 years doing that, and then this is my second year as assistant strength coach in the big leagues, which has kind of been the goal from the beginning. When I did first get into baseball, everybody wants to get to the big leagues, and that's why you go through it. So, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah, man, I hear you. I remember when I interviewed for the job, you told me that you told all your buddies in the military that you'd make it to the big leagues, and they laughed at you, like, "Oh, come on, dude, you're not going to get there." And now you're there, so it's probably a good feeling to put your mind to something and then achieve it.
I think that's how it is with anything in life, really. I talk to a lot of guys, and it's actually funny you bring that up. Getting to travel around the country and go to all these different cities. I have friends that I was in the military with that are in these cities, and I meet up with them, and they're like, "Oh man, I can't believe this happened." I'm like, "I can, like I told you." I don't want to say I told you so, but like, so that's like the cool part of it. And it actually, I found it's helped motivate some guys. The veteran community, getting out can be challenging at times. And so it's helped some guys kind of motivate them and to stay on their track of what they want to do.
Yeah, man, no doubt. So would you say that the military has helped you in any way in terms of, forming your coaching style or how you interact with players? I'm sure that background plays a big role for you.
I think it plays a tremendous role for me. I think it's helped me as much as anything I've done in my life. It taught me personal accountability. It really showed me what discipline was. Like, people can talk about discipline, but until you actually have to get up every morning and put your boots on and, you know, go and grind. And even though there's things you might not want to necessarily do, you know that they have to get done. So, yeah, military has helped me. And I've, you know, especially as a minor league coordinator, I felt like I drew a lot of my experiences in the military to kind of help, you know, create some structure in the minor leagues and, you know, the teamwork aspect of it. The minor leagues is such a big operation. There's so many people, there's so many trainers and coaches and front office. Like, everybody has to be working together or, you know, it just doesn't work. So, you know, I was fortunate enough that everything I learned in the military really helped me, you know, once I jumped in that job, because I had only been in minor league baseball for 3 years, right? So that's not long. You know, a lot of guys, you know, to get a coordinator job that quick, that just, you know, you talk to people and it doesn't happen. But, you know, what I had, you know, been through before, my leadership experiences helped me out a lot.
Yeah, I definitely agree, man. It's not something that sounds like you were necessarily ready for, in the sense that you were only in 3 years, but at the same time, your past experiences always play a huge role in your current successes. So I couldn't agree more. And, you know, just from being here in a couple years and seeing how the minor leagues works here, it was done right. So kudos to you for that, man.
Appreciate that. But that's right. A lot of good people, a lot of good medical staff and strength coaches, and, you know, they all help make that happen.
Oh yeah, man, it's a team effort. So let's get into the nuts and bolts, man. I know we're gonna cover a lot of good stuff on this one. I'm really excited to talk about it. Something that you're really passionate about and is kind of a up and coming thing is velocity based training. So can you explain to me why you're a big believer of velocity based training as opposed to something you know, percentage based training or something along those lines?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we were first kind of building our culture in the minor leagues, you know, we didn't even have strength coaches at affiliates. So, you know, there really wasn't high levels of expectations for our players. And that's the main thing I really tried to build in the culture was, like, okay, when you come in, you know, we're asking you to come in twice a week, or if it's your 4 days in between your start, like, you know, we expect you to, like, work with intensity, with a purpose, like, with, you know, intent to get better. Like, here's your vision, your long-term vision, 3-4 years to hopefully get you to the big leagues. But along that way, we're going to want you to work really hard. And, you know, like I said, I only been a strength coach for 3 years in baseball. And, you know, we were and guys started buying in. And they were pushing themselves really hard, but then along the way, you know, you kind of push. There might be times where you pushed a guy a little bit too hard, where, you know, maybe he was sore going out in the field, or he was tired on the mound. I mean, you know, I know I made those mistakes, and even, you know, and so after a few years as coordinator, we, like, really, you could start feeling the culture building. Like, the players were really buying in, they were working really hard, and, like, it was exciting. But I'm like, okay. You know, we had guys doing single leg RDLs with 275 pounds, and, you know, like, 225 single leg RDL was, like, pretty standard for everybody. And I'm kind of looking around and I'm like, man, I think we're, like, kind of touching that. We're right on the edge of the cliff where, like, maybe we're pushing guys too hard. And, you know, I want to figure out some different ways, and because guys are getting so strong, you know, I'm like, okay, we have a good opportunity to start training for power more. So, you know, I'm always scouring the internet and whatever magazine articles I can about the newest research. And, you know, I started kind of reading about velocity-based training. And, you know, I knew I wanted to add in some, you know, power stuff. But, you know, we're just not going to do Olympic lifts. We're, you know, between shoulders and wrists and elbows and baseball and the guys don't have experience doing the lifts, and have very limited time with the players. And it's a very highly skilled – Olympic lifts are highly skilled, and you have to be there. You know, the off season would be a time to teach them. So I knew we wanted to implement some form of this. And then so one of the first things I found was the push band, and tried it out myself, and, you know, found some other technology – you know, some things you strap on the bar, the bar sensei, and I just wasn't finding the right technology to help us out. And then when we finally found Gymwear a couple of years ago, you know, I realized that this is probably it. And so, you know, I think getting back to your original question, it really allows us to train the guy to their level of that day and how they're feeling. And it gives us a lot of feedback immediately to know, okay, this, you know, you can talk to your guy and if you have a really good relationship with your player, he's going to tell you, yeah, I'm tired, or hey, I feel great. But, you know, given the velocity-based training has given us objective feedback immediately. It's given me feedback as a coach. It's given the players feedback on how they're working, their body's responding. And so I think that auto-regulation, especially in baseball in season, right, we're really only with our players in season. That really allows us to push a guy when he needs to be pushed, but not push him so hard that you're going to fatigue him for the game, or he's going to be sore, or, you know, like I said, our guys were getting so strong, and a lot of those players have now in the big leagues, you know, we're still working together. They're so strong that it needed to be more power based. It needed to be speed based. I needed it to be neurological adaptations as opposed to muscular, because these guys are older now. They're 26, 27, 28. Like, they've developed. Like, these guys are big professional athletes. Like, I don't need, you know, I don't really need to put them through hypertrophy phases, and, you know, the strength's there. It's really about, you know, trying to get those neurological signals to fire as fast as possible. So, you know, velocity for me at this point, after using a couple of years, it's been the best tool that I've found to get these in-season performance benefits, but also, like, really helping with fatigue and, you know, kind of monitoring readiness. You know, I've used it for rehab guys. You know, we got guys with lower body injuries, and, you know, I want to know if his injured side is matching the strength and the power of the unaffected side, right? So that's really helped to give some information, especially, you know, all we do is ground-based lower body movements, and so it gives us really good information, and the players are buying into it now. It's helped, like, we have a good culture in place, and the players work tremendously hard, but it's added another layer to our culture where it's become, like, guys will get competitive with it. You know, you'll see him looking over, guys doing a set, and he's looking over his teammates back going, hey, how come he's moving that weight so much faster than I am? You know, and so it kind of gives you another little, like, piece to help you coach, you know. And, you know, being in baseball, most baseball people are numbers guys, you know, and they see number, they equate, you know, their success with numbers, and so that's helped in our environment, I think, tremendously, because the guy's looking over and he's going, man, he's 2 points faster than me, he's better. And, you know, so then you don't even need to, you know, if you have the right group of guys in the gym, in the weight room, you don't even need to motivate them. Like, those, you know, numbers that are coming out are motivating each other. And so it's been fun. It's been really fun. You know, it's still only our second year, you know, using it and using Gymaware, but, you know, I'm really excited to see where we're going to be able to use it in the future. And I already have some guys asking me how can they get a hold of the technology for the off season, which really tells you that it's helping them out. And then just the feedback from the players, just like, you know, I know last year when we first started using it, I had position players, and one of our outfielders he's like, I don't know what the heck you got me doing in the gym, but, like, I've never felt so quick, you know. And my hands, you know, my first few steps in the outfield, I feel explosive. And so that's really gratifying as a coach to know what you're doing with your players. They feel a difference, you know, that you're not just having them do some experiment in the weight room. Like, there's actually some validity to it. And so, yeah, it's fun. It's a cool tool.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. There's a lot of information there. So, one of the things that I think gets overlooked is, like you said, when you're managing fatigue and guys' hands feel faster and their feet feel faster, is that they can give more effort in their baseball specific work, right? Like in the weight room, we can only do so much, but if we can keep them strong, fresh, fast, that translates over to their BP, their cage work, you know, throwing program for the pitchers. And I think that's something that really gets overlooked in this whole big picture of velocity-based training. One of the things that you had mentioned, there's no O lifts. We don't do the Olympic lifts. So are you doing variations of Olympic lifts? Or are you just doing, you know, speed squats and RDLs? Are you doing high pulls? Is it specific to certain guys up there? Is it everybody's doing the same thing? Because power can be trained a lot of ways. So
yeah. You know, I think before we always looked at power like, okay, we're gonna do plyometrics and we're gonna do med ball throws, you know, and like I said, the technology's helped us be able to utilize it with the bar. And so we're slowly implementing like variations with guys that, you know, we know are good lifters and they're into it. And yeah, we do speed squats, but you know, we're playing around with doing high pulls with the right people. You know, we know guys that are strong and their technique's good. We're, you know, we've played around with doing jump shrugs with the right guys as well. But it really takes the right athletes. You know, they have to have their strength base there, and they have to really be invested in themselves in their career, and they're not just kind of going through the motions with it. You know, you want them to want to do it as opposed to telling them to do it. So that's something we're slowly implementing, you know. We've been able to utilize jump squats more and getting that feedback right away. We know where we can load a guy during a jump squat with a bar, you know. So yeah, it's very cautiously, you know, optimistic and excited about it, but you know, we only very few guys are using it.
Yeah, of course. It's,
you gotta teach the basics. It's all about, you know, and there's still times where the technology or the velocity feedback is, because these guys are so competitive, like technique will go out the window, especially with squats. So it's still about teaching the technique to make sure they get the benefit from the exercise. So I spend as much time like, no, you can, don't worry about the number. Even though we're saying, hey, here's the number, like, don't worry about the number, like, do it right. And the number, you know, your velocities will go up. And so, right, like I said, it takes the right athlete and the right mentality to be able to include those variations in their program.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you talked about, you know, the guys you have that requisite strength level that they've been training for a while. They understand the movements, and so it's probably not a one size fits all throw Olympic lift variations on everybody type of deal. But at the same time, those guys probably appreciate you individualizing stuff for them and looking out for their careers in the long term and everything. So I know I have, you know, a couple guys here that are new to the organization, and when they see the gym wear, they're like, oh, what's that thing? And then you explain it to them, you know, we're trying to take care of you guys, the whole auto-regulation of, hey, you might not be feeling it today, or maybe you are feeling a little better, instead of just throwing weight on top of weight on top of weight on the bar and the wheels start spinning. They're like, oh yeah, this is actually awesome. Why isn't everybody else doing this? So it's cool to hear from, you know, from other guys down here in the minor leagues too.
It's the one of the cooler things that guys almost scratch their head is like, no, you don't have to put any more weight in the bar. Like, I actually want you to take weight off. And they kind of look at you like, what are you talking about? You know, more is better. Like, no, it's not actually, like, faster is better.
Yeah.
You know, for an athlete, baseball, you use a 5-pound ball and, you know, like a 30-ounce bat. Like, those are really light implements. And, no, we want you to use lighter weight and move it as fast as possible, because that's what you need to do on the field, right? So, and then, like you said, the light bulb kind of goes off a little bit and they start thinking about it more.
You're not throwing a bowling ball, you're throwing a baseball. So they start to understand. And it's good. Like you said, you know, it's only the second year using it, and and there's definitely a future for it with us. We're moving in the right direction, I think. But it's cool to see guys start to, you know, have it click in their mind and start buying in and say, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. And then, like you said, it translates over to the field. They feel fresh, and you're like, all right, let's keep doing this. I like this stuff.
Exactly. So, and, you know, the other good thing that we didn't even talk about, it really lets me track their progress through the season. Like, where is their strength, right? Because it was before it was the eye test. Okay, it looks like that squat, your that 80, that 60% squat is moving slower. You know, but this, you know, I can actually track throughout the course of the year. Now, because I have 2 years of data, like, I'm talking to Jackie Bradley. I'm like, Jackie, look, this is the highest power output you've had on jump squat ever. Like, look, this is 2 years of information. Or, you know, you might have a guy who's lost 7 pounds of muscle in the course of the season, and then those power outputs are down. And so you can kind of, like, this is why, you know, we're trying to get you to eat more to preserve lean mass. Your strength is now going down, so it allows us to track over long periods of time too. So
I was just going to ask you if you were tracking anything with it.
Yeah, that's what's exciting, I think, too, about, you know, the minor leagues and implementing the minor leagues and thinking about our players down there for like 5-6 years out, right? Like, they're going to be experts at using this, but we're also going to have data that shows us, hey, this is how much progress you've made, you know, throughout the course of your minor league season. And then, you know, maybe when a guy does come in and have a bad day, or a bad week or a bad month, like those big workloads start piling up and we notice that power outputs are going down, you know, we can make those adjustments, you know, right, you know, along that time in season or when we notice those trends are going down. And so that's really important. Like, we're making adjustments day to day, but, you know, I think we'll be able to make adjustments, you know, months, or just forming players' individual programs even better with this. so it's, yeah, it's been good. There's a lot more potential that, like, we haven't even really tapped into yet, but I think it's as good of a tool as you could find in professional baseball for a strength coach.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been great here, and like you said, it's a balancing act between pushing hard enough and not pushing hard enough, and overtraining, not overtraining. So it goes back to that auto-regulation. I mean, we can't talk about it enough, just how important that is on a daily basis for guys to, you know, come in and give what they can on that day based on how they're feeling.
Absolutely.
All right, man. So a lot of good information there. Let's move on here. What do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful? Primarily in baseball, but maybe in general. What do you think makes a strength coach a good strength coach?
Man, I think there's a lot of things that make really good strength coaches, good coaches. You know, being able to be around some really good ones in this organization and getting to interact with guys at winter meetings. You can, you know, first, I think you need to have your own personal discipline, you know, in your own life, with training and your eating habits and, like, taking care of yourself. Like, you have to have your own discipline within who you are to be able to teach and to guide young athletes. I think good strength coaches, you know, they have to be in it for the right reason. You have to have some compassion, and you have to have really want to help other people. And I mean, for me, like, that's probably at the top of the list. Like, why in the business? And, like, the seasons are long, and when the seasons pile up and spring training is long, and then you get, you know, you're in 162 games, you got to remind yourself, like, why am I doing this? And number one is, like, I'm here to take care of other people. Like, I want to make these guys better. So the selflessness, I think, is number one, and compassion to take care of guys, the empathy of, all right, this guy's tired. Like, I gotta understand. I get that. It's not always like, hey, you gotta go, go, go. Like, I gotta understand, this guy's played like 30 days in a row, and he hasn't got a hit in like 5 days, and like he tells you like, you know, I don't feel like lifting today. Like you gotta empathize with that a little bit. You gotta kind of put yourself in their shoes and be there for the players. And I think when the players realize that you always have their best interest, when you're always, and I mean, they'll run through a wall for you, you know. And so those things are the most important. I mean, you can have all the book smarts in the world and have all technical knowledge, and if you can't get with your players and relate to them and truly let them know that you care about them, you'll never be able to accomplish anything, you know, on a team level, on an individual basis. So
yeah, one of the things that's always stuck with me, you know, going back to when I interviewed with you, was we were walking down that hallway, and I don't know if you remember, but we saw the World Series picture, and you were like, man, sometimes I walk through this hall and just I need a reminder of why we do what we do. And not every day is easy in baseball, man. Like you said, it's a long season. There's a lot of travel, you know, late games, early mornings. But if you can figure out why you're doing it and doing it for the right reasons, I think it goes a long way. So, I mean, I've used that this year where I'll just sit and look in the mirror and be like, man, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, regroup and go. You know, it's, and like you said, helping guys is just tremendous. And when you have their best interest, they know. And when you don't, they know. So that's really good advice, man.
Yeah, I mean, for other strength coaches in baseball, young strength coaches that are maybe just starting out, you know, I'll go to the field early, or even if I'll get off the bus and I'll just go sit in the sand sometimes. You know, just go sit in the sun and, like, soak it up and just kind of take in the environment, because, like, we can – I'm so consumed with like what our job is and like getting in the weight room and talking to guys, like you kind of got it. You need a reset button every now and then to go like, hey man, like what I'm doing is pretty cool, you know, and this is fun. And you got to remember it's fun and it's baseball and we're like still working in a little kid's game at the end of the day. So yeah, you gotta take care of yourself and maybe slap yourself around a little bit just to remind of what's going on.
Couldn't agree more, man. Every time I go home, my buddies are like, oh, it's so cool what you do. It's like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that we do, but at the end of the day, what we do is an unbelievable job. So
sure.
What continuing education resources do you turn to for knowledge? You know, the books you read or podcasts you listen to, where's your go-tos?
I know you're a big podcast guy, and I've tried to get into it because I got a little bit of commute to the ballpark at home, and I don't know. For me, I haven't been able to really get into that. I think, you know, not I should have already known I'm a visual learner, you know, and I do know that about myself, but I try to get into podcasts, and I end up, like, hearing something really good information, then my mind, like, just goes off in outer space. So I haven't – a lot of it recently, to be honest with you, has been in – just kind of scouring the internet and finding new websites and new authors, and you know, because the velocity based training for me is like so predominant in our program, like I still want to learn more. So this, you know, I'm like digging into you know, Australian research with rugby and how they're using it, and I'm digging into all this other research wherever it's being utilized, so I can, you know, I can make sure I understand it as thoroughly as I possibly. So a lot of my continuing education is like research, the internet. Like, I've never been a big social media guy. Like, I was always like, oh, you know, that's not good. But then I realized I was turning into this old, salty, crusty old guy that wasn't keeping up with the times. And then like somebody introduced me to Instagram and I was like, oh, like this is actually kind of cool. And I found some really good writers on there. Like guys that have pages, but then there's links to their websites or to their blog or whatever information they're doing, and like, so that's been a really valuable tool for me. Like now I'm like in this, you know, Instagram kind of fix where I'm trying to like find all this new stuff in there, and it's been good. So now I feel like I'm up with the times. You know, I'm not just some old guy.
The next thing you know, you're down the rabbit hole. 18 yeah. Links opened, and you got more reading material than you could ever imagine.
Yeah, I always talk about it like I'm trying to find the end of the internet eventually. Like, you know, I'll find it one day if I just keep digging for it.
Hey, so, man, keep searching. You might.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll start listening to podcasts once more of the PBS CCS episodes come out.
Once I have some visuals and I get this all the time.
All right, man. It's been awesome. Where can the listeners get in touch with you? I know you said you're on Instagram.
What is my Instagram? Roose Strength, I believe. My last name's R-O-O-S-E. My email, you can email me at michael.roose@yahoo.com. So those are probably the two easiest ways. Yeah, and I'm always open to talk to new people. You know, another thing I do when I go to cities is I'll try to find university in the area, and I'll try to contact the strength coach and see if I can go for a visit, or just try to, you know, kind of network with people whenever I can. So, you know, anybody listening, if you're in Boston or in that area, or we're in town, like, reach out, and I love to talk shop. Like, that's, for me, like, going back to what's my way, my continuing education is, like, picking the brains of other coaches and people that are really passionate about this business. You know, I'm always trying to learn how to be a better coach. So, you know, if anybody's ever around and wants to talk shop, like, hit me up.
Yeah, man, it's a great way for the field to keep progressing. Just, you know, learn from the guys who've been putting the time in the trenches, and talk to everybody you can. Everybody's got something to share and knowledge to give. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
But hey, man, it's been awesome. Appreciate you opening up and letting us know, you know, as much as you did, and we'll be talking soon.
Yeah, no, this was great. I'm honored. You know, I appreciate it. Best of luck with this.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, everyone, that concludes our episode with Mike. I hope you like what we had to offer in our conversation. He's got a lot of good information about velocity-based training. He's a very smart guy. Very lucky to work with somebody like Mike, you know, who's very forward-thinking and open to new knowledge. And a couple of things that I took away that we didn't really talk about, maybe got swept under the rug, try things yourself, you know. He said he tried the push band, and you know, it ended up leading to him wanting to try more with velocity-based training. Find your passion. I think that's huge in this field, especially with as much work as we do. You know, like I said earlier, long hours, late nights, early mornings, you know, it can build up on you. So good advice there. And finally, you know, reach out and network. Mike said that he likes to reach out to colleges and other strength coaches just to learn. And, you know, if you find the right coaches, they're more than willing to speak with you about anything and open up. And I think Mike has proven that today. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we'll catch you next time.